we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so we are thankful that you have tuned in today. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. We would love to have you come and visit, be a part of us. And I was reflecting on our service last week. For those of you who may not be familiar with us, I thought I'd give you a little bit of glimpse. March was our best attended month in quite some time. And so we were very thankful about that. And it was not only our highest level of attendance on Sunday morning in a while, but it was also very consistent. There weren't a lot of peaks and valleys. And then April came, and some people had some out-of-town work to do and some vacations and anniversaries to celebrate. And so there's was a little bit of a drop-off in the first couple of weeks. But I looked around, and I realized this last Sunday that one-third of our congregation, a little over one-third, were under 18. And I cannot tell you how excited I was for that, because that was not always the case. Back in 2005 and 2006, we had a number of families, about 40% of our congregation, that relocated across the country. There were some Air Force relocations and some Air Force retirements, and people moved to be closer to their family and returned up north and things like that. And our children and youth ministry took a serious hit during that time. And it took a lot of intentional work and a lot of sacrifice on some people's parts. And to see that God has resurrected the children's ministry and the youth ministry is something that we are very, very thankful for. And so if you listen to the program and you thought, well, I don't want to visit Merritt Assembly of God because it's a bunch of old folks like Pastor Bob, I want you to know that that's not the case. And by the way, the kids love to love for me to hang around them and beat them at basketball. I don't think one of them made one shot that I didn't get to make. It was whoever made the first shot. But outside of that, in a real game, none of them have beat me yet. But then again, they're all very, very young and very, very short. So no, not all of them are that way. But today I want to extend an invitation to you to come and visit us. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and worship the Lord with us. We are not the largest church in town, but we do love Jesus, and we are thankful for all that he has done, and would love for you to come and be a part of it, because we have realized that the more of us that there are working God's will, his perfect will in our lives together, there's more that we can accomplish. And so another thing that we're excited about this year, we have had a goal for a number of years to be sending people on missions trips, sending people from our congregation. We have always been a very missions-minded church. We support 55 or more missionaries on a monthly basis. Last year, 30% of our income went to missions. And we said, God, we would like for it to be a little more personal, not just sending money, but we would like to send people from our congregation. We've tried to do this a number of times before, and there was always kind of like a personnel shift right before we would be able to do this. The most people we had ever sent on a missions trip in 1 year was 2. And this year we have 10 that are going. There's a family of six. They are going on a two-month-long mission with Teen Missions International, and they are going to two different mini ministry locations. The bulk of the family is going to one location. Other members are going to a different location, and they are going to be used by God mightily. My daughters are going to be going on a missions trip, and we are believing we're going to be sending a team back to Fiji for a short term. And so we are really excited, because I know from firsthand experience that when you are personally exposed to real life ministry in a foreign country, it changes you. We go on these missions trips a lot of times thinking that we are going to make a major impact there, which we do, but the biggest impact is what it does for the individual, what it does for their family, and what it does for the church. And so we're very excited about what God is doing. I've got an exciting word I want to share for you. I've been doing Isaiah. We've completed up to chapter 3. But today I'd like to take you back to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 11. We're going to read verses 11 through 13. This was a message that God laid upon my heart a couple of weeks ago. I preached this, and so I wanted to share it with you today. Hopefully we'll get through. If not, we will pick it up again on Monday, because I believe it is a very powerful truth, and it's a passage of Scripture that we all know very well if we've been in the faith for much of a length of time at all. So we will touch on that. So we do want to invite you out Sunday morning, Sunday school 9:30, Sunday morning worship at 10:30, children's church at 10:30. We have two different children's church classes going on now, one for the young ones and one for like 6 to 12, I think it is, something like that, 7 to 12. I don't know the exact breakdown, but we have two different age groups, and so we're thankful for our children's ministry team there. And then Sunday night at 6:30, we have a service. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. To whom we must give account. Here in verse number 11, it says, therefore, so you have to go up to see what it was talking about before then, and you will find that there were people who refused to go into the promised land. And then when they did, they did not find what they were looking for. In verse number 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. And so we need to realize that the people, they did not enter the rest. It says in verse number 2 of chapter 4, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said. So believing is very important to entering the rest that God has for us, the supernatural provision that he has for us. Now, it says here that in order to experience that rest, that we have to be diligent to obtain it. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. That means that I need to pay very close attention to what I believe. I believe that there's a great deal of interest in things spiritual here in America right now. That does not mean that there is a great deal of interest in the things of God. There are a lot of people who are interested in all the negative side, or the sinful side, the satanic side of spirituality. There's people who are interested in the idolatrous side of spirituality and the things, but for God's people, for the people who walk in covenant and in faith with Jesus Christ, we need to be very diligent about the things that we believe that the Word of God declares. So this year, we do this every year, but we are placing an extra emphasis this year on the Word of God. What does the Word say? If the Word doesn't affirm it, we don't believe it. We want to place our faith and our trust in the things that God has to say, because He is the most authoritative. And so, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So what we see here is that disobedience will prohibit us from experiencing the supernatural rest that God in His perfect will has decided that He wants to make available to us, but it is our disobedience that prevents it. It's not that God is withholding it, it's that we have judged ourselves unworthy. There's a statement about the Pharisees that they judged themselves unworthy of the kingdom of God because they refused to be baptized by John. There was a moment that came, and they said, no, that would cost me too much. You know what? When you are looking at it and saying that would cost me too much, you don't realize that God is asking for something that is very small, because He's got something even greater in significance. The religious leadership in the day, they wanted to hang on to their spiritual authority. They wanted to hang on to their authority and their power. And so they would do anything that they had to retain that. Listen, if you've got to fight to keep it, from being taken from you or from leaving you, you might not possess it in the first place. You see, there's an old song that says, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. So I'm very thankful for the things that God has for us. And so we need to realize that our lifestyle is very important. I want to focus on the Word. Verse number 12, here's the passage. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So this says, for the Logos of God, the Word of God, if you look in verse number 13, you are going to, I believe, get a little bit of a better description of what is being talked about here for the Word of God, because it says, there is no creature hidden from His, capital H-I-S, sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him, H-I-M, capital H-I-M, to whom we must give an account. I believe that the Word that is being talked about here is the Word that was made flesh in John chapter 1, that it is talking about Jesus, the Word of God that was in the beginning and is. I believe it is talking about that, not just the written Word that we have, not just the manuscripts, not just the things that we can look and study, but I believe it is talking about the reality of the living Word of God that is residing inside of us, that it is absolutely key for us entering that spiritual rest. You see, Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. And so it is that Logos. It says, for the Logos of God is living. It's alive. You know, I still remember the very first song that we sang when I came to Merit Assembly of God in 1992. It was a chorus that was called Alive, Alive, Alive Forevermore. This last week, our kids have started joining us at the beginning of our praise and worship. And then we pray over them, and we send them over next door for them to have the ability to hear the gospel at their level of understanding. As I was looking at the song list, I saw that the song was a song titled Alive, and it's like, are you singing Alive, Alive, Alive Forevermore? And they said, no. And then they played the song, and I knew the song. I just didn't know that the Alive was the type or was the name of it. But the core truth that we need to realize that should radically impact every area of our life is that Jesus Christ not only was alive, he is alive. He is the one who was and is to come. A lot of times believers kind of leapfrog, if you will, that fact that he is alive because we trust what he did that we can read about in the scriptures. We recognize he was alive and active in the past. We look to prophecy and we see that he's going to be alive and active in our eternity. But sometimes we forget that bridge that we call the present, that he's just as alive in our day and time as he is going to be in heaven, as he was in the past. He is just as alive right now. It says here, for the word of God is living. The word of God is living. Jesus said, God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. And so I'm very thankful for the word that is alive. That is why you and I can be reading the scriptures that we have read over and over and over again, and all of a sudden, God can give us new understanding. It was understanding that was there all along, but it may be extremely important for us to grasp that truth right now. I can't tell you the number of times through the years where God has just given me insight into a passage of scripture just hours before I was going to have a conversation with somebody who needed to hear that, and I was completely and totally unaware of it. A lot of times, when God gives me a word, I am of the mindset that word is not just for me, that it is a word that I am supposed to pass on. And so I share it with my congregation, I share it with you on the radio, and a lot of times people will say, you don't know it, but you are telling me exactly what I need to hear at such a time as this. Through the years, I've had a number of people say, how were you preaching right at me? And I said, I wasn't preaching at you. I was just preaching the living word of God. You see, I believe that a lot of times we want to reduce the gospel down to a cookie cutter type process where if this famous preacher over here is preaching that, then that's what I need to be preaching. But you know what? The people that he is preaching to in his congregation are not the same people that are sitting in Merit Assembly of God's chairs on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday morning or working with the kids on Wednesday night. And you know what? Sometimes we need to just say, God, I think I would be better. I think I would serve my congregation better if I'd fall on my face in prayer and put my ear to the throne room and hear what you have to say for this people on this day. You know, it's great to study. I love to not only preach, but to hear great preaching. I have a number of preachers that I listen to. And if I hear something that's wonderful, it becomes part of who I am. If it impacts me, there have been stories that I've heard that once I heard them, they impacted me so much that I didn't need that note anymore. I was able to say, you know what, that word is living. And so God wants that word to be living, but it is also powerful. It's also powerful. The word that is used there is the word from which we get energy. In other words, there is a power in the word of God. There is an authority. You see, when God's word goes forth, it strikes its mark. It makes its impact. It does its job, and it does not return to him void. And so one of the things that I have a soft spot in my heart for is whenever I see a plant growing someplace that plant should not be growing. I have seen plants that were growing in a brick wall underneath a covered entrance. This was at a church, by the way. I saw a plant growing into the mortar underneath a pavilion type entryway, so it wasn't getting any water. There's nothing that should have been kept alive. It was growing in an environment that was it was not conducive to growth, and yet it chose to grow there anyway. And it's like, God, if you can make that plant grow there, you can make your church grow any place. There's another place that I've seen where plants grow in the roof. That, you know, you're driving along and you see that all of a sudden there's a plant that is growing there. And that's because there was such a power in that seed that it said, even though the environment is not welcoming of this seed, the seed said, I've got power inside of me that is not going to go to waste. And I want you to know that one of the reasons that the enemy tries to deprive God's people of the Word of God and tries to get us to neglect it, tries to get us to ignore it, is because there is power in the living Word of God. Jesus has the authority. Jesus has the ability to bring about radical transformation in people's lives. He can heal broken lives. He can heal broken marriages. He can heal your broken finances. God's word is powerful. It's powerful. Don't deprive yourself of that wonderful connection. And it says, and sharper than any two-edged sword. So when I preached this, I asked for a volunteer from the congregation to come up. And I said, I want to ask for a volunteer. It's going to look like I'm going to hurt you, but I'm not. I'm just going to use you as a demonstration. And so the person came up and it was talking about this sword. And this young man's only been coming to our church for a couple of months. And he says, wow, you like to use swords a lot in your message. And it's because the Word of God talks about, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And here it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So I've talked about this. I've preached about this verse. And as I was getting ready for this message, I just felt led of the Spirit to go and do some research on and look up the meaning of these words rather than just accepting what had been there plain for everybody to see for all of these years. And when it talks about this sword that is sharper than any two-edged sword, you see a two-edged sword, you got the leading blade, the leading edge, and you've got the trailing edge. And that it also gives you the ability not only to cut one direction, but to strike in either direction, and that it is going to make its mark. But it says that the Word of God is sharper than the sharpest of two-edged swords. And as I looked it up, one of the commentaries said this, and this is what I really hope that you will get today about the Word of God, is that it says this, that the Word of God is so sharp that it should make its mark known. It should accomplish its task with one single strike. A second strike should be unnecessary. A second blow of the sword should be unnecessary. Folks, I want to ask the believers who are listening today, what is it that God has been trying to say? Because Peter was a person before Pentecost and even after Pentecost, to some extent, where he had to hear things three times before he got it. We did some study here not too long ago, and a person said, just about the time that you think that people are sick to death of hearing about something, You need to realize that they're just finally beginning to get it. In other words, it takes blow after blow after blow after blow after blow before they finally understand. And I believe that the Word of God is able to do powerful things with just one single blow. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's pointed. It can, listen, I don't know if you've ever been cut with a dull object before, but it's not fun. Don't get me wrong. Getting cut with a sharp object is no fun either. But when I've gone in for surgery, I want them to make sure that the scalpels that they use are nice and sharp so that there's a nice, clean incision there. And I believe that God is very precise in where he sends his word. One of my favorite things to share about, we'll come back and talk about the rest of this on Monday. But there was a archaeological dig in Israel, and they discovered in this dig under several feet of sediment that they found a seed, and when they did the analysis of the seed, they realized it was the seed of a tree that was extinct. And it had been extinct for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so what they did was they said, I wonder what would happen if we planted this seed. And they brought something that was extinct. It had died. They brought it back to life because of the power of that one seed. And you know what happened? That tree produced multiple seeds, and they literally brought a species of tree back to life because of the power of the seed. Today, some of you, as we get ready to go into this weekend, some of you are living with dreams and promises that have been crushed, forgotten about. I'll be honest with you. This radio program, God spoke to me some time ago. He said, you forgot about something that I said with that radio program, and I meant it. And some of you today, God wants you to hear this word, that he's not forgotten his word. He's not forgotten what he promised, and he wants you to know that he's going to bring it to pass. Today, I pray that you won't have to hear things 18 times before you believe it. I pray today that instead you would know that Jesus loves you, wants to forgive you of your sins, and he wants to use you for his glory. God, bless us and use us for your glory this weekend. In Jesus' name, we'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away and purify my heart. Don't wanna lose the eternal for the things that are passing.
'Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my one thing?